Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
In Isaiah 32, if you turn there, Isaiah chapter 32. It's part two, really, of a message we began last week. And if I just read verse 18, I'll explain what the part number one was and what part number two was. Isaiah 32, verse 18. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Isn't that an awesome scripture? I'll read that again. It's a promise. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Why don't you just say, that's for me? Secure homes, Dora. That's for you. Amen. Secure, peaceful, and restful places. Now, last week we were talking about peace and how to live in peace. And I believe last week is a prerequisite to being able to live in rest. In other words, peace comes. Learning how to live in peace before we can actually learn to rest. Without peace, you know you can't be at rest, don't you? If you're ever not anxious about something or not relaxed or something's going wrong, there's strife at Christmas with your family that are visiting, then, you know, rest is not an option. But if we learn how to live in peace, then rest will become something that we can achieve. Rest, the word, means to be refreshed, to be restored, and actually to be recharged. Just like you need to recharge batteries on your phone or on my new Kindle. Ooh, for Christmas. Ooh, some of you don't even know what that is, and I'm not going to tell you. That it needs charging, that it needs input. Not very much because it runs for a month, but that's part of life kind of practice, is that we need to understand how to recharge. And I wonder if you and I could aim for this goal, that when we begin 2011, we begin strong and rested. Anybody else want that goal? Okay, just, I thought that was well received. Strong and rested at the beginning of 2011. And this morning I want to really share God's recipe for rest. How you and I can experience rest this Christmas so that 2011 can be entered into on full strength. I know I have often experienced holidays when I've come back from holiday and said, I need a holiday. And I know that many people who are having family for Christmas and really having to deal with so much catering, so many different people in their homes, the likelihood naturally is to come up back after Christmas and say, thank God that's over and I really need a rest. Well, let's sort of back up before we even go through Christmas with faith and say, we're going to find a way through whatever Christmas brings to us to be rested and in full strength before January. Anyway, that's my faith. I'm going to preach to myself this morning. I'm going to come back in 2011 for the New Year service, which is a very important service for us as a church because it's a prophetic word over the year. And I'm going to come back fully rested, which is going to be a miracle because I don't think I've ever felt so tired. So I'm believing for what I'm preaching this morning. Are you going to believe for this? Amen. So we're going to come back in 2011 strong, refreshed, and not needing another holiday. Praise God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6, and there are these wonderful words of Jesus. And it's not the obvious words you're thinking of if you know the word about rest that he gave, although they're wonderful words. In Mark 6, verse 30, the disciples had been sent out by Jesus on mission. And they'd spent time with people, ministering to people, giving out, teaching, healing, praying, going. Okay, so this is the context. And in verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they'd done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, because it was nearly Christmas, no, because it was normal life, so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat. So this is a busy time Jesus is in, and so are the disciples. And he said to them, and this is what I believe he's saying to you today. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me to a quiet place by yourselves and get some rest. Now, if we look back over this last year, there certainly has been an amazing year of reigning in life and bringing his rule. I look at all the miracles of answered prayer. The victories in people's health in this congregation have been extraordinary. The turnarounds in marriages have been extraordinary. The turnarounds in situations of absolute far end, trying, testing stuff, God has come through. It's also been a year of great challenge because I believe God is preparing his people for the next move of harvest in this nation. And Dora actually mentioned it about testing. How testing actually proves your faith. We all think we're in faith in the good times. But we only see where we really are in the challenging times. And tests prove whether something can bear the load. And one of the biggest tests that has come against us as a church is the test of fellowship. Will people remain faithful to God and meeting together? And because you're here today, you've passed today's test. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I believe these tests have to come to show us sometimes we need to grow in our faith. And how much we need God, we need the church. Because we've never, ever been designed to walk isolated, but within the context of the body of Christ. And we've had many challenges emotionally. There have been loss this year. There's been huge things that we've had to face this year. And there have been amazing advances. If this morning you looked around and saw the young people right up the front, you will see that we're doing a great work. If you heard about, as I occasionally do through conversation, Answers for Life, Pastor Michael and June leading a team out on the streets to witness, I have heard unusual testimonies of how that team have been reaching the lost on the streets. Care for seniors. Since the last time Claire stood up, she has led, what is he, a 93-year-old, to Christ. Habitat. continues to be an unusual influence and success with the immigrant community, where even the council and local businesses are sitting up to see what you are doing to meet the needs of our community. And I mustn't forget Kids Club. I talked to a father on Friday night whose child has been impacted greatly by the ministry of Tim and his team with children on a Saturday morning. And so the tests, can I tell you, as a Christian, will increase. You can clap if you like. No, we don't like the tests. The tests will increase because we are in the last days. And the genuine disciples of Jesus are on a mission to reach the world as they were sent out to reach people by Jesus. And they came back and they reported to him everything they'd done. And our report goes before the throne. God knows what we have done this year. Thank you, Jesus. Even financially, of how we've been able to supply the needs of a missionary in Morocco, to support a great work in Mongolia. We are reaching out beyond our boundaries. We have given, actually we've overspent our budget on giving this year. 23% giving. And so the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, Lord, this is what we've done. And I believe all of us stand here. And I look around all of you faithful worship leaders, Annette, the whole team. I look at the sound team. I look at the hospitality, the door ministry, the resources, the way that the website works, the graphics, the everything that happens in the youth through the pastors and the ministries. Thank you for what you've done this year. Praise God for a great people. Amen. And you know, some of the most challenging things that happen is right out there in that room with all these young people who are not yet quite sorted. And we must pray for them, but they're doing a great work. They're doing a great work. And Jesus says it's time to stop and take a rest. He's saying it to me, and I know he's saying it to you. It's time to actually have proper time out. And the people were still there, and I believe the needs of people will never stop until Jesus returns. And so we have a mission to people always. If you're a true disciple of Jesus, you will be reaching people. That's what disciples of Jesus do. We go beyond ourselves to reach people. And in this missionary work, in this advance, Jesus says, it's not that the needs are going to go away. It's not that the work is going to stop. But you've got to stop and take a break. Don't you think that's comforting? I mean, I don't know whether it's relevant for this generation, but work and rest to the older generation, to have a rest, often people feel guilty. But God is actually saying, take a break. It's a nice word from heaven this morning. Take a break. Now I'm going to just share some things about how to rest that I'm sure we'll add to what works for you. I'm not saying I've got the whole kind of counsel of God on rest, but I'm discovering a few things that I need to apply to my life, which I trust that will be very useful to you. Jesus said, come to a quiet place. So this Christmas, whether you've got a few days or a week or whatever your time off is, Jesus says, come with me to a quiet place. Now, a quiet place means to be away from where you normally work. So if you work from home, get out of the office. If your office is at home. If your work is centered around the kitchen, don't constantly stay in the kitchen. Come out of your normal work. Whatever space speaks to you about having to do something, get away from it. Is that good? So find a space for you that you can actually rest. Some mums would say the only space is the toilet. Some dads would say the shed. But you must find your space, a quiet place where you can rest, what works for you. For me this year, it's going to be in a hotel room in Beijing. Because that's where I'm going for Christmas. We'll take it in turns of being alone in the room. You can clear off 1 minute and I'll clear off the next so that we can actually have time out. If the house is full, which it likely is over Christmas, or you're with other people over Christmas, find and make a choice to find space and time. Because you can be in control of the time. You see, I believe God has given us the ability to take responsibility for our time. That we actually say, okay, I get 3 days. In that time, I'm going to have definitely an entire afternoon resting. Or whatever you need to do. So you actually decide. And I think it's really important before Christmas begins that you decide to make space for rest. You can even put it in your diary or on your phone as a little task that reminds you, take a break, Jesus said. Is this good? You see, we all work. We all have to care for people. We all have to go shopping. We've all got to maintain houses. We've all got ministries. We all need to serve. We all need to do everything. But we all need to rest. And so that has to be planned in if you're actually going to apply God's recipe for rest. If you are married or you're sharing a house, make sure one of you doesn't do all the work and the other uses the remote control. Sorry, can I say that again? If you share a house or you are in your parents' home, make sure it's not the parents who do all the work or the people you're staying with do all the work, but you love people enough to share the load so that you can both have a rest. Because I know some people that say, brilliant, I've got Christmas off, dee dee, and they don't leave the sofa or the screen until New Year. And they say, God, I really feel I've had a good break. And the person, whether they're male or female, but we probably know which one, is in the kitchen, frazzled, struggling with a heart attitude, because it's only been a rest for you. All ladies, would you give me a round of applause? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, even some of the men are clapping. That's brilliant. Maybe you do all the work. A rest, Jesus said, does not involve a break from his presence. Jesus said, come with me by yourselves and rest. So it's not a rest from God's presence. It's a rest with his presence because his presence gives rest. So you'll never really truly be rested without fellowship or relationship with Jesus. So it's not like, right, I've done the Christian bit for the year. Now it's all me. And, you know, you'll find yourself home alone. It's quite relevant because it's a Christmas movie. But we are not home alone. We are home for Christmas and for Christ. And Jesus is our home. He lives in our hearts. And because he lives in us, we have found our home forever. So whether you're traveling or anywhere, Jesus actually is your home. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus said, come with me and rest a while. Now in Acts chapter 3, we've got this amazing verse about the effect of the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19 says, this is about really how to become a Christian, but the second part is relevant for us, for Christmas particularly, for this time. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Now I looked that up in the Amplified, and it says, refreshing from the effects of heat. You know when you've been wearied by a hot, hot day? Have you ever worked in a hot country in high temperatures, and that effect of heat actually is overwhelming, makes you tired? God says, my presence will alleviate the effect of the heat that has been on your life. It will also revive you. That's another word that the Amplified says. It will revive you with fresh air. So you will revive in God's presence. So being with Jesus is going to be important in this holiday season. It's important for you and for 2011. And you will be revived and refreshed if you maintain a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, for me, I love holidays because actually I stop hearing God for you. I mean, I always hear God for me because I apply the word personally. But when I'm actually away, and Beijing is really away, I am going away. And being away means that when I spend time with Jesus, I take longer. I take my time. I have at least two. I start with tea and then I'll have coffee. And I'm hoping they do good coffee out there. And so I just take my time meditating on the word, reading the Bible, praying and just listening and receiving the Lord. Because for me, one of the things the Lord said to me yesterday, he said, you've been a drink offering. It's time to be a sponge. And I know the faithful people here who constantly, regularly give and serve. I know that you guys in your work, many of you are in the medical profession and working and caring with people, that you're constantly pouring out and giving out. God says it's time to be a sponge. To take in from the presence of the Lord, that times of refreshing will come from his presence. So find a quiet place and definitely make sure you have a quality time prepared to be with Jesus. And enjoy him. Enjoy Jesus. Because he came. That's why the angels announced when he was born, good news of great joy. And actually we have his presence with us through his Holy Spirit. So let's enjoy Jesus this Christmas. When Jesus said, come away with me, come aside and spend some time, one of the prerequisites for rest is that we deal with worry and cares. This is my number three point, which I don't normally just have a list of points, but number three is corrosive cares. Corrosive cares. What are they? They're worries that actually corrode your peace and your faith. If you're worried about somebody or something, you're going to find it very difficult to rest. And I used to, I'm sure you did when you were at school, you'd find out the effects of acid on substances and how acid could actually burn through hard steel. And I believe worry has the power to burn through your faith. It actually corrodes your peace. And so it isn't an option that you continue to live with worry at all. So Jesus says the answer for that is to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So in other words, rather than take on what you're worried about, give them to God through prayer. And say, Lord, I'm trusting. You see, trust means you let go of that situation or that person and actually remain at peace. Because then the peace of God, which passes understanding, will protect your mind and heart. So trust him with your care. If you're going to rest, you're going to need to say, Father, especially if you've got people visiting that cause you to be concerned, that relationships or situations that are worrying you, you need to just hand them over to God and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with that person or that situation, and I'm going to believe you to take it off my shoulders. You see, it's up to you whether you worry or not. Jesus didn't say, I'll intervene. He said, you give it to me. So you are not allowed to go around saying, I am so worried about. Is that good? Well, you are allowed, but it's actually not God's responsibility to take it off you. It's yours to give it. To give your concerns to Jesus, because he cares for you. And actually, when you begin to trust God with that, God himself gets involved with that situation. And I'd rather God be at work than me. Worry keeps me working. Prayer with trusting him gets God working. And I know that I want God to work. So don't allow corrosive cares. And Philippians also says, whatever things are good, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of a good report, think on these things. This week, there have been many issues that I've been involved with. And one of the things that I was counseling somebody who was really devastated this week. And I said, look, you have a choice whether you think about what's gone wrong or you think about the good. It's still your choice. And you don't have to give the devil your Christmas by thinking about the wrong things. Because as soon as you think about the negative, you're on a landslide. But as soon as I think about the positive, I'm on an elevator. And I don't want a landslide. I want to go up and be recovered, restored this Christmas. So whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, don't listen to negativity. Don't listen to people who are undercurrents. Well, you know, because family situations at Christmas can go downhill fast, can't they? Just think about the nicest thing. If you've got an auntie that you're finding really difficult or an uncle coming to stay, well, I like their tie. Start with something really positive. Aren't they wearing a really good tie? You know, just be positive and you will find the Holy Spirit will lift you. You start to get negative and nitpicking, you're going down. And you're going to make it a bad Christmas for everybody else. So, Psalm 62 verse 1 says, my soul finds rest in God alone. So without God, your soul can't find rest. But with God, with prayer, you can find peace in your soul, in your mind, and in your emotions. This is my goal this Christmas. As I go away, after next Sunday, I'm going to say, right. I'm going to go to a quiet place with Jesus, with no care in the world, and lots of rest. Amen. Now, this is the final point. And I'd like to talk about sleep. S-L-E-E-P. Sleep. Not just yet. Some of you have started already. It's so encouraging, you know, to be preaching when everybody's asleep. It's amazingly encouraging. It's like, Lord, this is fantastic. Sleep. What is God's design for your body? Sleep, yes. And I have a question because I have to, and I've recently changed the way I think about sleep. When does the day begin? It's a good question. I would always say early morning when I wake up. My day starts in the morning. Well, in Genesis, God's day starts in the evening. Okay, you're looking like... Okay, Genesis 1, let's look at it. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 8. God's in the process of creating everything, and he says there was evening and there was morning the second day. Verse 5 says, and there was evening and morning. So verse 13, and there was evening and then there was morning the third day. So God's saying in the order of creation, he started the day in the evening. Now why is this an unusual thought and why is it God's design? Well, I believe that God actually wants us to start with rest. Not work. So we actually start our day with rest. So that we see the beginning of our day is we are well rested and then we go to work. Is that good? I've always thought of it the other way around, and I'm just trying to readjust my thinking. It's actually a new concept for me. People would say, the medical people would say, that actually the deepest sleep that you have is between 11 and 3 in the morning. And it's the REMs, what they called, something eye movement, rapid eye movement. That actually that's your deepest sleep from 11 till 3. And therefore, if you go to bed at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, you actually break up those REM deepest sleep phases. And because of that, you might have a lie-in in the morning, but actually you won't be rested. You'll have longer sleep, maybe, but not true rest. Do you know God made you? You didn't make life yourself. So that means if we do life God's way, it works. So God's way of giving us a good sleep and an amazing rest and these REMs, these few hours from 11 till 3 are the most important time of your sleep. Because that's where your body is rested, that's where you get restored. And if you don't recharge your body, everything collapses. Your health goes. Your resistance to sickness goes. I know we can believe God for miracles, but God has also called us to walk with wisdom. So we don't abuse our physical bodies. Marriages suffer because people are not getting the proper rest. And therefore, they haven't got the strength to put into relationships or giving or loving and serving in relationships. And so, everything suffers if we don't sleep. And I remember when I was growing up, my mum used to say, what you need is a darn good sleep. Because, you know, you got so tired, go to bed early. And if you go to bed early, you know what happens the next day you wake up like, okay, I can cope now. This is good. I can take it on. Why? Because God designed us for rest. And sleep is part of his plan for our lives. So let your day begin with a good sleep. Think my day is starting tonight, for example. And if I want to wake up really fit for the day, I'm not going to plan to go to bed beyond 12. Actually, if I can get to bed, I've really reordered my life. If I can get to bed, and some people think, you know, you're a party pooper, but if there's a party on, I'll go. But normally, because I don't spend my life partying, I spend my life on the kingdom. Because we're here for Jesus. And normally, if I can get to bed for 9, 9:30, 10, I'm there. Why? Because I know that in the morning I wake up earlier and I've had a good 8-9 hours. I believe 8 hours is kind of an average amount for sleep. Not 6, not 3, not 20. 8. Let your day begin with a good rest. And another thing that somebody once called the spirit of stupid comes on some Christians. A spirit of stupid, where just before you go to bed, you decide to watch a horror movie. Or you play the latest PlayStation game. So you're like, you know, with all the controls. And you come to bed. I can't sleep. Is it any wonder you can't sleep? You're so psyched up that there's absolutely no, you're going to have to come down. Or you're going to have to deal with, you see, your spirit and your mind, you've been entrusted by the Lord to protect. And that if you allow, I'm not talking, of course I mean ungodly things to come in, images that are not holy. But I'm also talking about the kind of violence that this generation are so accustomed to. I mean, some of our kids, they see such violence that I can't watch. And they're like eating their crisps, popcorn, like they've just beheaded 20 people. And the kids of today are still eating their popcorn because they're so used to the wrong thing that is damaging their spirit and their soul. And so, if you want a good night's sleep, take care of what goes in. Especially late at night. I don't mean, you know, some people take it this far. I've read a book once and I thought, well, that's going a bit far. They get mood lighting, you know. Everything kind of goes blue. Or they turn lighting down and they get all like, oh, it's all kind of, yeah, I'm now in a, yeah, let me just have a hot chocolate. But you might want to do that. If it works for you, that's good. But whatever works for you, come down before you go to sleep. And then when you lie down to sleep, give the Lord your sleep. Give him your mind. And actually, there's a scripture that says, the Lord counsels me even when I'm asleep. So you know what? In the morning, I wake up with an answer I didn't have before I went to sleep. But I wouldn't get it watching TV till 2. Because actually, the time when you dream most is within the 11 till 3 REM moments. And allow the Lord to speak. Be in faith. Go to sleep. Lord, I give you my mind. I give you this night. And thank you, you're my wonderful counselor, even when I'm asleep, that you neither sleep nor slumber, but you give your beloved sleep. You give me rest. I feel like I'm a kind of practical guide to sleep, but I'm not an expert, but I do like to do things God's way. And God wants a healthy body. He wants this body to recover strength. And one of the ways is to be wise about what you're doing this Christmas, to go away, to be with the Lord, to spend time, you know, doing the right things, but also to understand sleep. Finally, I'm going to just finish with something that Actually, I read in a book once, so it's not original with me, but I thought it might help you. This man speaks about how particularly leaders need to constantly have input because of the constant output. Whether you're leading in whatever situation, but particularly spiritual leadership, because we give in every dimension. We give spirit, soul, and body. But also, we never kind of switch off. I'd like to, but I can't. You know, if I'm a shepherd, you just can't switch off where people are at, what's going on, praying. And one of the things that he said is you have to find, just think of yourself as a tank, like your petrol tank or your diesel tank of your car. And every time you give out, it kind of just lessens what's in there. And he said, think of rest like this. What actually fills your tank and what drains it? Because what fills your tank might not fill mine. For example, the kind of music that fills my tank is usually worship. It's usually, I like some classical, I like jazz, I like Michael Bublé, I like some different stuff. But I know some people have a style of music that empties my tank. Do you know what I mean? I go and listen, and I'm like, I go around for a meal, and there's this, you know, like my nephew, my niece are just there, and you're like, oh, I wish somebody would turn that off. It's draining me. And so, what fills your tank? For me, good company, particularly faith company. I find people of faith that really have a genuine relationship with Jesus and that have him center, great company. I like having meals with people of faith. What else do I enjoy? I wrote down. I like a good film, a good movie. But I don't like staying in front of the TV too long because it empties me. Has anybody ever felt empty after watching too much? It empties us. I believe it drains us. But there's the right moment for a good documentary or a good movie that you can actually say, that really did me good. You're looking at me like I've just become something unusual. Anyway, reading really fills me up into something positive. Reading the right books. Spiritual books. I sometimes enjoy a John Grisham or a little bit of an interesting novel. But actually, when I'm on holiday, when I'm resting, reading a good spiritual book or a biography, I love it. I mean, I downloaded, you'll be interested, the first book I downloaded on my Kindle was a Bible. It's brilliant. I'll take it to China because it's just so light. It's amazing. And then this is going to make you laugh. Second book, The Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I thought, well, that makes happy reading. I think I perhaps better put a novel in. It's a brilliant book. If you read The Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll really understand that to live for Jesus is something completely different than what we consider hard in this time. So find what really fills you. Being with Jesus actually... Without him, I find my day is empty. And so time with Jesus always, always inputs something positive into my life. Walking, creation. I love going out, walking, seeing God's creation. I don't know what's for you. Sometimes even going to the gym, the thought drains me. But when I come back, I feel good. So I have to conquer the thought so that I can actually have some input into my life. Now, the things that drain me most are negative people. I can't think of anything worse than spending time with a negative person. Actually, I run from them when I'm on holiday. Sometimes I have to deal with them in my ministry, but when I'm on a holiday, I'm like, see ya. I'm going to stay in a positive environment. Because negativity brings everyone down. The sighers, the moaners, just stay away from them and have a good rest. too much noise. I invest in earplugs if you've got lots of people staying. You know, and the kids are down wanting to play their new games on the computer. I'm having a fine Christmas. It's brilliant. Something that drains me is shopping in crowds. Shopping fills me. In crowds drains me. So I choose when. I don't do the sale thing. Because I don't like the boom, boom, people pushing. So I just avoid it. You might love that. It might do you a lot of good. Do it. You know, have fun. Queues, really. If I see a queue, I'll say no thanks. I'll live without that. And it's like, over this Christmas, avoid the things that take. Even the little things. And come back really filled with God's strength. Rested. Having slept when you should sleep. Having had fun. Staying up all night if you want. But understanding there must be the right sleep patterns for you to be strengthened physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Praise God. Have a good rest. Now, we're going to do something that I believe is really the goal of God after this message. You know, it wasn't just to hear about having a good rest. I'd like us to pray a particular scripture from Psalm 68, verse 9. It said, Psalm 68, verse 9, "You gave abundant showers. You refreshed your weary inheritance." You gave abundant showers, you refreshed your weary inheritance. Okay, so God says, when my people are weary, I'm going to give abundant refreshing. That's a promise. Thank you, Lord. And so we're going to pray for each other and pray for a supernatural rest this Christmas. I want to pray, you know, that God will bless those who've got to work over Christmas as well. How many of you are working all the way through Christmas? Are you? Oh, gosh. She needs extra prayer, Becky. She really does. That you'll have an amazing supernatural rest. We'll pray for that. But for those of us who've actually got time off, time away, time with family, time here, let's pray for God's supernatural ability to give us unusual rest and refreshing. And if you are weary in any way, physically, spiritually, emotionally, God promises to refresh you. And that means you couldn't do it without God, which is why we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the supernatural power of God to bring refreshing to you and your families this Christmas. And also, let's really pray for fantastic family times with family, with husbands and wives, children, aunts, uncles. Yeah, always we want to reach people with the gospel. But God is actually saying, I want my people rested and refreshed. So let's stand together. And I'd like you just to pray for one another, just for those times of refreshing, and to refresh one another with faith and prayer. Let's just lay hands on each other and just impart the Holy Spirit.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.